We've talked about the cross and the sacrifice. We've talked about our Lord being alive today. You know, the death would be inconsequential without him raising up from the grave. We're thankful that the Bible teaches us that he did die late on a Friday, but Sunday morning, the first day of the week, he came up. He did, as the choir just sung together. He walked out of the grave, and he'll never be in that borrowed tomb ever, ever, ever again. And we thank God for that this morning. But for a few moments, I want us to think about what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth here. And he tries to get them to imagine what life would really be like without Easter. Now, we'll get back to Easter in just a moment. But for a few minutes, I want you to think with me, without Easter, what would life be? Where would we be today? Where would we be headed today? What would be our message? What would be our work? What would be our ministry today without Easter? Well, Paul describes that in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 12, reading down through verse 20. Look at the word of the Lord with me. The Bible says, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." We love to hear the preaching of the late, great Billy Graham. We're thankful for him and his ministry and how God placed a certain mantle of evangelism upon him. And he could preach a very simple gospel message and give a very simple invitation. And a lot of people would respond because God, the Holy Spirit, would draw and they would place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But one time, evangelist Billy Graham was being interviewed by Time Magazine. And in that interview, I want you to listen to what Billy Graham said. He said, "If I were an enemy of Christianity, I would aim right at the resurrection, because that is the heart of Christianity." Did you hear what evangelist Billy Graham said? If you want to make Christianity go away, aim at its heart, and the heart of Christianity is the resurrection. Well, that's been attempted, and I want you to know that it is being attempted even up to this very day. It was attempted back in the first century there in Corinth, because the Apostle Paul writes this particular chapter of 1 Corinthians combating a thought that was current among the Greco-Roman society there, that there could be no resurrection from the dead. They said Christ was not raised up from the dead, and therefore nobody else would be raised up from the dead. It was started all the way back then in the first century, in those early days of Christianity, and then it has continued down to this very day in which you and I live this morning. Robert Funk, who was the one who started the infamous Jesus Seminar, he also once told Time Magazine, and I'll read you the quote. He said, "The tales of entombment and resurrection were latter-day wishful thinking. Instead, Jesus' corpse went the way of all abandoned criminals' bodies. It was probably barely covered with dirt, vulnerable to the wild dogs that roamed the wasteland of the execution grounds. Even former President of the United States of America, Thomas Jefferson, who did not believe in miracles. Jefferson was a deist. That's someone who believes that, yes, there was a God who was almighty and omnipotent, who created this world, but then turned his back on this world and letting this world run its course. That's exactly what Jefferson believed. And do you know that he made his own Bible? It's called the Jefferson Bible. And I want you to listen to the way the Jefferson Bible ends. It ends with these words. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein never was a man yet laid. There they laid Jesus, rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher, and departed. And that's the way Jefferson's Bible ends. May I say to you this morning, I'm thankful that's not the way my Bible ends. Can you imagine what life would be like for one moment today if Easter is not true? Can you imagine where you'd be today if Jesus did not come out of his entombment on the third day? Can you imagine a world without Easter? Imagine it for just a few moments with me this morning. And I want to say to you, according to what Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, number one, without Easter, preaching is powerless. Now, we can all recount those moments when we sat under the anointed preaching of a man of God who preached the Word of God. Aren't we thankful for those moments? And I'm not talking about moments that you perhaps have spent under my preaching, but we can go back and we can recount faithful pastors of our childhood, of our teenage years, of our adult years, and we're thankful for powerful preaching as God the Holy Spirit moved through the exposition of the Word of God. But I'm saying to you that that's really not true. That's only a figment of our imagination if there really is no Easter, because without Easter, preaching is powerless. Notice again what Paul writes in verse 14 of our text this morning. He says, "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith also is empty." Here's the big deal. If the Lord Jesus Christ is still in a tomb, if Jesus is as dead today as he was when they took him off the cross on that original Good Friday, then somebody like me who has responded to what he felt like was a call of God to preach the Word of God is a very foolish person. Here's the thing. If there is no Easter, there's no power in preaching. Therefore, I've really wasted my life. I've wasted my education. Those hundreds of books that are in my library today, they are there for no reason if Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead. If Jesus is not alive today, I'm saying to you this morning, I am wasting my time preaching, and you're wasting your time listening to me today. As a matter of fact, if Jesus Christ is dead today, I don't know who's the bigger fool. Me standing before you trying to preach, or you taking a few moments of this Easter day and sitting here in a congregation. Here's the thing, without a risen Savior, no sermon, regardless of how well-crafted it is, regardless of how beautiful it is, regardless of how oratorical the deliverer is, regardless of how logical it might be, regardless of how stimulating it might be, it is not worth hearing. Again, what Paul writes here, he says, it's empty. Her little story about something empty, a little boy was at home with his mother and it was getting up to about lunchtime. And he looked at his mother and he said, "Mom, my belly hurts." And she said, "Well, honey, don't worry about it. It's just because your belly is empty. In just a little while, I'm going to get our lunch together. And when you put something in your belly, it's going to feel much, much improved." Well, later in the afternoon, just on a random visit, the pastor came and knocked on the door. They let him in. And the little boy was learning how to be courteous and learning how to respect his elders, especially his pastor. And so he asked the pastor, he said, "Preacher, how are you feeling today?" And the preacher said, "You know what? I'm feeling okay, except for I've got a little bit of a headache." And he said, "Preacher, that's because your head's empty. If you put a little something in it, I promise you it'll feel a lot better." Here's the thing. I'm an empty-headed man, and I'm delivering an empty message today if there is no resurrection. Preaching without a risen Savior is dead. Have you ever read classifieds or some type of an article that's communicating something for sale? I've read a few of them. I ran across a little list. I'm just going to give you three of them. One classified was advertising an earring special, and it simply said this: "Come have your ears pierced and then get an extra pair to take home with you." A dry cleaners organization said, "We never tear your clothing with machinery. We do it carefully by hand." Now watch for this one. A classified came out in one paper, and it was for an antique wooden desk. And here's what it said. Forgive me in advance, okay? Here's what it said: "Suitable for ladies with thick legs and large drawers." I asked for your forgiveness before I read it. Listen to me closely. If I can't say as a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that Jesus has been raised from the dead and mean it, and if I can't mean that Jesus Christ is alive today and say it, then my preaching is powerless. But let me move from me to you. How many of you know today that this is a room full of preachers? You might say to me, "Now, Brother Allen, you're the preacher," and you look around the room and there's maybe a couple of others in the room who also have or has preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, here's my news for you today. We're all preachers. We're all people who share the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In fact, you may have even done it this morning. If you pulled out of your neighborhood and there was a neighbor somewhere around you that didn't get up and get prepared and head out the door to go to an Easter service like this, when they saw you leave your house in your Easter clothes and be on your way to Bible Baptist Church, do you realize that you were preaching a sermon? You were saying, in effect, "I believe that there is a Jesus Christ who paid for my sins on the cross, and I believe he's alive today, and so I'm going to the body of believers, and with them, I'm going to worship." Listen, when you go to work, when you go to school, when you go to the golf course, when you go to the lake and fish with your fishing buddies, wherever you go and you're around other people, when you say a little something about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to understand today, you are rightly being a preacher. You're being a preacher. And I want you to see what Paul says about your sermon, not just my sermon in an official capacity up here extolling the good news to you, but what about all of those witnesses that you try to give by your activities and by your statements. Look at what Paul says in verse 15. He says, yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. Look there again at what he says. As a preacher, as a believer, as a somebody who walks through this world, you're playing a game if Jesus Christ is not alive today. Let me ask you a few questions. I'm going to ask you to respond. I think I can do that on Easter Sunday morning. We all ought to respond. How many of you would say with me by raising your hands this morning that Jesus has changed our lives? How many would do that with me today? How many of you would raise your hand this morning and say this, Jesus lives in my heart? Would you do that today? How many of you would raise your hand yet again and say, I have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you raise your hand if that's true for you? Thank you for playing along with me and raising your hands. And I really don't mean to be offensive, but I want to tell you this. If you raise your hand with me to any one of those questions and Jesus Christ is not alive today, you have committed spiritual perjury. If Jesus is not alive today, Paul, not Brother Allen, but the Apostle Paul in the Word of God, calls you a false witness. The Greek word there is pseudomartus. It's a compound word. You hear the word pseudo. We even use that word in the English language, don't we? We talk about sometimes pseudo-intellectuals. Now, who's a pseudo-intellectual? Somebody that really thinks he has something between the ears, but it's not there. Pseudo-intellectual. You know what a pseudonym is? A pseudonym is a false name. And then the Apostle Paul, writing in the Greek language, takes that word pseudo and he adds the term martus to it, pseudo-martus. Pseudo meaning false, martus meaning martyr. Now, when you and I hear that term martyr, we think about whom? We think about those who have given their lives for the cause of Christ. But before that term martyr simply meant that, it simply meant a messenger, someone who was a witness, someone who saw something happen and believed that something in his or her heart and then went about telling everybody that they really believed it. Notice again what Paul says. You're a pseudo-martyr. You're a false witness if Jesus Christ is not alive. Your preaching is powerless. My preaching is powerless if Jesus is not alive today. Your sermons have no power if Jesus is not alive today. And guess who else's preaching is powerless if he's not alive today? Jesus Christ himself. Now here's what I'll say to you this morning. If Jesus has not raised from the dead in and of his own power, then he's the greatest liar who's ever walked the face of this earth. If Jesus is not alive today, he's the biggest religious charlatan who has ever been on God's green earth in the existence of the whole world. If Jesus is not alive today, I'm saying to you, he does not deserve your empathy. He doesn't deserve your sympathy. He certainly does not deserve your fellowship. If the Lord Jesus Christ is not alive today, I'll tell you what he deserves. He deserves your anger. Because you know what Jesus said about himself? This is what Jesus said about Jesus. It's recorded for us in Matthew chapter 17. Look at verses 22 and 23. The Bible says, now, while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and the third day he will be raised up. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm going to die, but in 3 days I'll rise again. Now, by the way, I'm thankful he said that, right? But here's what I want you to admit with me this morning. If he did not come up out of the grave on that first resurrection morning, then the Lord Jesus Christ is a liar. And not only is Jesus a liar, but so also is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So also are the apostles. That's the problem. With a dead Christ, preaching is powerless. We have lost our message if Jesus Christ is still in the grave. Without Easter, preaching is powerless. Second thing I want you to notice with me as we imagine a world without Easter is that without Easter, faith is futile. Now, you're here this morning because you believe yourself to be a person of faith. But if Jesus Christ is not alive today, you ought not be here. You understand that this morning, that faith is no greater than its object. Your faith, whatever your faith is in, whomever your faith is in, if that person, if that thing is not a great thing, then you ought not have a great faith. I almost thought about bringing one up here and asking for a volunteer, but I thought you could just imagine it yourself. What if you tried to sit down in a two-legged chair? Wouldn't go very far, would it? It'd go far enough for you to hit your head on the ground. You can't sit in a two-legged chair. And beloved, you cannot have the spiritual faith that you think you have today if Jesus Christ is not alive. Faith is only as good as its object. You see, what gives meaning to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That sinless, perfect life. The virgin birth would have been worthless if Jesus Christ did not, after the virgin birth, lived a perfect, sinless life. And what gives meaning to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is his death on the cross. You see, Jesus lived a perfect life, as we thought about Friday night, so that upon the cross, all of our sins could be placed into him. As we talked about Friday, he was the embodiment of our sin. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So you see this morning, what gives meaning to the birth of the Lord Jesus is the life, the sinless life of the Lord Jesus. And what gives meaning to the sinless life of the Lord Jesus Christ is the death of Jesus upon a rugged Roman cross. But I want to go a step further. What gives meaning to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is the resurrection of Jesus. Without the resurrection of Jesus, the cross would be meaningless. Listen to what Paul writes to the Romans in Romans chapter 4, verse 25. The Bible says that Jesus was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. In other words, without an empty tomb, a rugged cross would be meaningless. I experienced something several years ago when I was working over in the Middle East in Israel. I was out with my partner there, Boaz. And it's interesting when you're across in other places in the world, everywhere doesn't do all things like we do them. Now, Israel's a very modern country. They have big mega superstores just like we do here. But when you get out in the countryside, you see things as they were many, many years ago. And one of the practices that amazed me is that you can go into some country markets in Israel and you can eye produce or whatever it is that you want, and you can take it, put it on the counter, and then put the money you're willing to pay for it right there on the counter. Boy, you'd like to do that, wouldn't you? Just go to Walmart or wherever it is you shop and offer what you think the product is worth. Well, literally, that's what they do in some of those country markets over there. And so I watched in amazement as my friend took these items, placed it on the counter there, put his money down, and then the owner of the store, guess what he did? He walked over closely, and he looked at the product, he looked at the money, and then he raised his hand. Here's what that means. When the owner of the store raised his hand, he's saying, I accept what you're offering. May I tell you this morning, when the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary's cross, God Almighty raised his hand. Almighty God looks down and he sees his beloved Son hanging between earth and heaven. He sees the blood that's been shed. He knows that the price has been paid, and God says, I receive it. Therefore, upon the cross, it was finished. But beloved, if that's not true, our faith is irrelevant. And here's the worst problem. If that's not true, forgiveness is impossible. Do you need to be forgiven? My, how I need to be forgiven today. And as I've told you many times before, I don't know your heart, but I know my own. And I know what I've done. I know the actions that I have made that have caused me to be a sinful person. I know the things I haven't done that I should have done that have caused me to be a sinful person. But if Jesus is not alive today, the bottom line is this: you and I are still lost in our sins. Look at verse 17 of the text. The Bible says, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are what, church? Still in your sins. In other words, if Jesus is still physically dead, we're spiritually dead today. Sin is still a chain that weighs us down. Sin is still a burden that keeps us on the floor. Sin is still a hammer that breaks us today if Jesus Christ is not alive. I'm saying to you, without Easter, without the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection, we have a faith that is futile. Let me give you one more. Without Easter, according to what Paul writes here, ministry is meaningless. The way I try to minister to you and you minister to me and the way we minister to each other, if Easter isn't true, then ministry is meaningless. Don't we all need ministry from time to time in our lives? I see people nearly on a daily basis that needs ministry. Sick people need ministry, right? People that are going through confusion in their lives, they need ministry. But you know, when you and I need ministry the most, we need ministry the most when we're staring death square in the face. That's when we need it the most. But I want you to look at what Paul writes in verse 18. If Jesus Christ is not alive today, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. That means it's over for them. It's just over. No afterlife, no happy reunion day, no when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. None of that. Those who have fallen asleep in Christ, those who have died, are just that. Dead. They perished today. What does that mean? That means that death still has its sting. It means that the grave still has its victory. If Jesus has not been raised, listen to me closely, there is no hope now, and there is no heaven later. I've shared these with you before. You've read them in English literature. Some of the saddest words that we've ever read together are those words of Edgar Allan Poe, who wrote the famous poem, The Raven. He's mourning the death of his loved Lenore. And he's having that night as he lies there in the bed, and he writes these words that finishes that poem. And he says, "And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting, still is sitting on the pallid bust of Pallas just across my chamber door. And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming, and the lamp light o'er him streaming casts its shadow on the floor. And my soul from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor shall be lifted nevermore." There's no hope for the dead or the dying. There's no ministry for those who are staring death square in the face if Jesus Christ is dead today. Heard about boys who got together for a pickup game of basketball, and guess what? Nobody brought a ball. And so they were there on the court. The hoop was there. They were all there, skins versus shirts. They had chosen up teams. There was no ball, but somebody finally got the bright idea and said this: "Never mind the ball, let's just get on with the game." Doesn't quite work that way, does it? That makes about as much sense as somebody saying, "There's no resurrection, let's just get on with Christianity." If there's no resurrection, if Jesus is not alive today, there is no Christianity. I know this message sounds like a downer, but I want you to know the darker and darker it gets, the light becomes brighter. Because look at these next words that Paul writes in verse 20. He says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead." Paul goes back to that garden there in the first century where the lifeless body of the beloved Son, Jesus Christ, was placed in that tomb and the stone sealed the door. He goes all the way back to that Easter morning and he says, at the right time, when God had chosen, his voice whispered into the ear of his beloved and he said, "Arise, my love." And beloved, as the choir sang a moment ago, he walked out. And so Paul writes, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. So when this corruptible has put on the incorruption, and the mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory?" 2,000 years ago, all that had to be done was for somebody to come up with a body. The chief priests, all of the intellects of Jerusalem that so wanted Jesus dead and gone, could not find a body. And then the greatest power in all the world at that time, the power of the Romans, could not produce a body. They didn't do it then. It hasn't been done since. And it'll never be done unless one finds the body looking at the right hand of God the Father. As much as I marvel in the virgin birth of Jesus and the sinless life of Jesus, as much as I glory in the cross, beloved, it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that makes my faith alive. Confucius died and was buried. Lao Tzu, the founder of Taoism, you know what he did? He wandered off in a wilderness and died with his pet water buffalo, literally. Buddha rotted away with food poisoning. Muhammad died in 632, different accounts of what happened to his body. Some say that his body was ripped into pieces and spread all over the Near East. Some like to think that it's lying in a tomb in Medina, Saudi Arabia today. The bottom line, whether it's spread all over the Near East or rotting away in a tomb, the body was left behind. Beloved, Jesus is risen from the dead. And on that single statement hinges the hope of humanity, both in this life and in the life to come. A Muslim in dark Africa was led to faith by one of our missionaries to the Lord Jesus Christ. After he had left behind the Muslim faith and followed Jesus, one of his family members asked why. And this is what he said. He said, "Well, it's just like this. If you're walking down a road and you come to a fork in the road and two men are there, one's dead and one's alive, which will you follow?" He's alive! He's alive! Jesus Christ is alive today. Therefore, we of all people are not to be pitied, but of all people, beloved, we are to celebrate because we serve a risen Savior. Now stand with me and bow your heads. I'm going to pray for you in just a moment, but before I pray today, I want to ask you, do you know Him? Do you know Jesus today? Is He your Lord? Is He your Savior? You see, He is alive today, and He wants to save you today. He wants to make every wrong of your life right. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you hope, not only for this life, but for the life to come. Today, if you don't know Him, what a wonderful day to come, to place your faith in Him, to trust in the grace of God. Why don't you come today? Be saved today. You say, "Well, this is a crowded room and everybody will be looking at me." Let me just tell you, the saints in this room will cheer you on today if you'll step out and come to Jesus. Why don't you come to Him today? Maybe you're here this morning, your heart's hurting a little bit because of circumstances of life. I'll be honest with you and tell you mine is too. But oh friend, what do we have in a resurrected Savior? So I would just ask you to join me. Lift your eyes up. Celebrate Jesus. Remind yourself of the great hope that you have in Him. As we sing in that old song, when we turn our eyes on Jesus, the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Whatever your need is, today, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to move publicly, coming to be saved, maybe to rededicate your life, maybe to take up membership and join Bible Baptist Church, whatever God is saying to you, would your answer to a resurrected Lord and Savior simply be yes and amen right now? Lord, thank You for these moments together. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for our congregation in this place, Lord. It has been Your intention, I believe, for each one of us to be together just like we are right now. And Father, I pray that we would not just put away what you've said to us through your word, but Father, we would do something with it. God, if there's one lost that needs to be saved, may here she come. If there's a saint, Lord, today that needs to come and deepen his or her commitment with Jesus, I pray that would happen today, Lord. Whatever it is, if you're speaking to us, let us answer yes and amen to you. I pray it in Jesus' name and amen.